Remain standing for the reading of God's Word from Malachi chapter 3. And as you're flipping, I repent not from my comment of your plumpness. God has been so good to provide good food, plentiful food, lavish food upon our tables this past year. And He has been so good, and sometimes we can only appreciate it by way of comparison. And I trust that we don't have to have that in order to give Him the thanks due His name. He has given us so richly, but it's very important to understand that He owns it all. And He has called us to be stewards of everything, both of our time, of our possessions, of everything we own, our children. And this particular passage is indicative of that which reveals a deadness in the souls of people when they forget that very principle. So this morning we are going to pick up our reading in Malachi from chapter 3, verse 6 through verse 12. And we're going to speak on the subject of robbing God. For I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Our Father, what lay before us is spiritual food and truth for our souls. And yet we pray that you would feed us in a way that only your Spirit can open up this, so that this food will become life. We pray that you would give us faith and the eyes to see the beauty of what lay before us and the promises and the hope and the encouragement. And we pray that you would square us up this day with these truths, that our religion would not be dead, our worship would not be dull, but we would have life and have it abundantly, and that we would trust you in every step along the way for these good things. So we pray that you would bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Dead religion, dead worship, has many evidences. Malachi has been exploring some of the symptoms of dead worship and lifeless souls of God's people. One of those symptoms that he brought out was a false worship or a maligned worship, where they were not worshiping God according to the way God had declared, had designed, and had revealed. They were bringing lambs for offering, but lambs that had blemish. Another breakdown that we see in the life of God's people was the familial relationships, the family life. And when that breaks down in the church, it reveals something about our religion and our worship. Another view that he expressed was having false views or distorted views or wrong views of God himself. And when that happens, and when we have and entertain false understandings of God, our worship becomes lifeless and dull, and our religion is not meaningful. Another aspect that Malachi has so far revealed to us is forgetting grace, taking God for granted, being presumptuous upon God. Just because He was gracious today, now we presume upon Him for tomorrow and we forget His goodness to us. We're not thankful, we forget who we are, we forget our dependence upon Him, and we forget His grace. And that's another symptom of a lifeless, dead worship. The people didn't readily see that their religion was lifeless. They went through the motions. They kept bringing offerings and sacrifice, and they thought they were okay. And that's why there is the problem of deception. When deception has taken hold of our hearts, we don't see our problems. Our heart lies to us. As I was reading this morning from Proverbs 21, it tells us that that man sees it one way, but God sees it accurately. Because our hearts deceive us. The heart is desperately wicked and it lies to us. And we believe those lies. And if it weren't for the saving grace of Christ being applied and sanctifying our heart, we would be led away with deception. So God opened Malachi's mouth in this rhetorical fashion, and he was doing these things to ask questions and then bring the answers to the question. So he'd say something like, you've robbed God. And the people say, well, what way have we robbed God? They didn't see it. They didn't understand it. And so he has to answer the question for them. And that's the topic today. It's another symptom, another evidence of dead religion when a man does not give faithfully to God what is God's portion. So this morning, from the text that we're looking at, are speaking on robbing God. Tithing is an issue of the heart, much more than it is an issue of your checkbook. Tithing is an issue of the heart, and it is an indicator of your relationship with God. I want to bring this message in three main points. And as we look at the Scripture, this is what was symptomatic of what was going on in Israel. And so true of many churches today, or many individuals, where they are robbing God. I trust that maybe God would speak to each one of us and re-encourage us in this giving to Him, and be encouraged with the promise and the hope that is herein given. First of all, let us see the direct relationship, the connection between keeping God's commandments and ordinances to your relationship with Him. Verse 6 and 7. For I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. I don't have to explain that, do I? You get that, right? You are sinning, people. And the only reason you're not consumed is because I don't change. I am faithful to my covenant. I am faithful to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am faithful to my promises. And because I don't change, just be thankful, people, that I don't change. And I'm going to be faithful to you. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Now return to me, and I will return to you. And in what way shall we return? Return is the idea of repenting. It's to turn around, to change direction in the way you're going, to have a change of mind and a change of direction. Return to me. Because you are going the wrong way. In what way shall we return? In what way shall I repent, is what the people are saying. How shall I change? Why should I change? What am I doing wrong? They couldn't see it. But there's a direct relationship between our repentance and our relationship with God. Our life of living and obeying the ordinances, and specifically here in our tithing, in our relationship. Now that does not mean that we have a relationship by obeying God. You don't gain favor with God in tithing. You get that? In fact, you don't gain favor with God in coming to church. You don't gain favor with God in obeying the law. You don't gain favor with God. Get that? Nothing you do will gain favor with God. That's what grace is all about. Grace is His favor that He gives to you in spite of who you are, in spite of what you have done, and you don't gain it. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. He gives it. So you don't gain favor with God by giving Him money. Tithing is not an investment strategy. Tithing is not a bargaining tool or token with God. Tithing is not a financial tool. But tithing is keeping in the ordinance of God that shows our heart of love and devotion to Him. We don't gain salvation by our works, but our salvation by faith works. It's the chicken and the egg. It's the cart and the horse thing. You get that. It's the fruit of it. And when God is gracious and saves you, the fruit of your life bears forth a new life. There is a new song in our heart. There is new praise upon our lips. There's a whole different perspective of life. And so we love Jesus, whereas before we hated Him. We give to Jesus and we love His kingdom. We love His church. We will die for Jesus and we will die for His church if so called to do so. You will do it if you're Jesus's. But you're not gaining favor in so doing. It's an important principle because we have a tendency to legalize the faith and to be legalists and be Galatians, and we start off in the faith and then we have to then maintain it by our good works, and we continue to fall into that trap over and over and over. And so I reemphasize, you do not gain God's favor or maintain God's favor in doing these things. But we are called to express our love and our dependence and to show our trust in Him and keeping His commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. So we obey this love and trust in Him. And tithing is one expression that I trust God more than I do my checkbook. I trust God more than I do my job. I trust God to provide for me. So tithing is an obedience that demonstrates the love of God. And He tells him, some of you have departed from me. And He says, return to me in this. Some of you have stopped tithing. Some of you have stopped giving. Some of you have stopped consistently tithing. And I'm speaking generally here, not specifically to you. That's what He's telling the people. That's what Malachi said. Return to me, turn it around, get it right, test me in this, try me in this, says the Lord, and watch what I will do. Just trust me here. You ever seen someone that that you're trying to gain someone's trust, and in that there is something of a joyous aspect? I remember my children who want to jump off of the side of the pool, and I'm in the pool. And to test them a little in their trust, and I move way back so they don't think that I can quite catch them. So they trust me. And they want to jump so bad, but they can't quite get there. And so finally, when they jump to me, something that they want to do, they find that my hands hold them up. There's a trust. You got to take the step here. You got to walk by faith, not by sight, trusting that God's going to hold you up. So he says, turn this around and trust me in this. The very thing you depend upon, the very thing you think gains your sustenance, the very thing that everything that you put, you know, it's either here or there. It's either with me or with mammon. But you can't serve both, and I'm calling you to trust me here and take that step and just watch what I will do. That's the tenor of the passage. Now, he turns then secondly, and he goes on to express the seriousness of this issue. And he says that someone that does not tithe is robbing God. In what way shall we return, he says, by stop robbing God? In what way have we robbed him? You have robbed him in tithes and offerings. Someone who does not tithe is stealing from God. That's what verses 8 and 9 tell us. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? The answer, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, first of all, let's be clear what tithing is. I think it's helpful to have a little reminder regarding this particular subject. Tithing, the very word, means a tenth. The biblical pattern for tithing was set long before Moses. It's not merely Old Testament ordinance stuff. It's not merely of the Old Covenant, and in the New, we don't tithe anymore. The very precedent and pattern biblically for tithing was first given when Abraham comes to Melchizedek, the king priest after whose king priesthood of Christ is patterned. Before Moses, before the law, before Sinai, and here was Abraham giving a tithe to Melchizedek, so that the scriptures even say that the Levites gave a tithe to God back through that. So, tithing is a tenth of your increase. That's the biblical principle, a tenth of your increase. And that's what God requires. That can be an increase of money, that can be an increase in your investments, that can be an increase in your portfolio, an increase in your assets, an increase of your fruitfulness, an increase of your olive grove, an increase in your vineyard, an increase in milk production, an increase in profits, an increase of your sheep, an increase of your chickens, an increase of the stock prices, an increase of your net worth, an increase of your capital gains. A tithe is a tenth of your increase that God has brought to you. And that's the basic principle. God requires a tenth of our increase and a seventh of our time to test us in our trust and dependence upon Him, saying, if you do this, just watch what I will do. Trust me here. And that's the principle. If you merely give God an eighth, you're robbing God. If you give God a tenth of some of the increases and none of the others, you're still robbing God. A tithe is the tenth of all of our increase that God has blessed us with. Now, offerings are gifts that are beyond that tithe. In general, offerings are more voluntary in their demeanor than a tithe is, but there are occasions when offerings are expected. It's because of the spirit of the offering. For example, when the tabernacle was about to be constructed, God tells the children of Israel, bring free will offerings voluntarily, whoever desires to bring them. But there was a certain expectation that God had of His people that they would so bring it. He had already instructed them to plunder the Egyptians of all their gold and all of their things, and it's with that plunder that God was going to build the tabernacle. If God's people did not give an offering above their tithe, no tabernacle would have been built. So there's a direct relationship with the desire for the presence of God as it pertains to their offerings that they give. Also, it's God's people would attend the three annual feast days. The scripture says in Deuteronomy 16:16, three times a year your male shall appear before me, the Lord your God, in the place where he chooses. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the Weeks, and at the Feast of the Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Come with offerings. So there's the expectations that people would recognize God's favor with them, and this acknowledgement of grace would lead them so to give in appreciation for the goodness of God upon them. But it is when we take God for granted and presume upon His favor that we are disinclined to give, and our thankfulness becomes just an empty, tingling sound of brass. Tithes and offerings are indicators of one's understanding of God and of our dependence upon Him. Now, this really tests us here in the very physical realm in which we live, but it's testing our spirit. Tithes and offerings are indicators of our understanding of God and of our dependence upon Him. The tithe demonstrated recognition of God for His gracious supply to all the bounty of life. It's an expression of thanksgiving to God for all of His goodness. We come this day and we offer God our thanksgiving, but do we offer Him true thanksgiving by giving tithes and offerings? Because that's the expression of knowing who God is and depending upon Him. An understanding that God owns everything. He has created the world and everything that is in it by the word of His mouth, out of nothing, ex nihilo. He owns everything, but He has given us a portion to be a steward over. Those are not your children there. Those are God's children, and He has given them to you to enjoy as a blessing, but to raise them up for Jesus. You are a steward over that soul. One day that child will leave your home to serve the Lord in the capacity that God has given. And you will have the greatest joy when you know that child is walking in the truth and that God has been favorable in your stewardship. We have to understand God owns everything, and He has given us a stewardship of those things that He's entrusted into our care, whether that be your children or your house or your money or your possessions or your job or whatever it is, the talents and the gifts, you are a steward. And we need to be faithful and consistent in that faithfulness in what God has entrusted to us. The question is, are you kingdom-minded here? Are you trusting God for His provision? Or are you more trusting yourself, your job, your assets, your portfolio, your fill in the blank? Whatever God has given, remember Job, He can take it away in a flash. He can take your children away from you in a flash. All of your lands and possessions in a flash. You can take your house away in a tornado, especially in this land, in a flash. as Job, God has given and God has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is a right perspective of God. When people had a heart for God, their giving was abundant and it was natural. But when people's desire for God waned, their giving began to diminish as well. They begin withholding God's tithes and offerings, and they also in that they forfeited great blessing that God had promised. So we see the seriousness of the tithe. When the Scripture says, "You've robbed me," it's equating the tithe with robbing God. Leviticus 27:30 says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord." The tithe is set apart. And when we don't give that back to God, it's called robbery. It's not likened to robbery. It's not a simile, like or as. It is robbing God. And the curse will be upon you. And the curse will be upon your land. The curse will be upon your checkbook. The curse will be upon your cars. The curse will be upon your health. The curse will be upon your household. If you rob God, you're going to deal with the consequences of that grave sin. And that's what he said. "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." See, tithe and Sabbath principles are closely related. One addresses our possessions and the other our time. We work for 6 days and we get increase from our labors. Then one day is set aside that we come apart from those labors so that we can give a tenth of those labors back to God and rest in the Lord with our time. And that's why we see tithes are often given in our offerings at Sabbath festivals. There is a relationship in time and space with our time and possessions as it pertains to the worship of God. When God's people didn't keep the Sabbath, God took the Sabbath away from them. And He took them into the land of Babylon for 70 years, a direct function of how many Sabbaths the land did not receive. And rather than having one day in seven now that they could rest and enjoy a relaxing of the curse of God upon the land and the sweat of their brow and the labor in which they worked, now one day in seven that they had this enjoyment was taken away from them in the land of Babylon, where they became slaves and they were working with their hands 7 days a week. If you don't enjoy Sabbath, God may take that away from you. And if you don't enjoy giving a tenth, God may take the rest away from you as well. The principle of application are very analogous to how God addresses Sabbath and tithe. And there's this idea of stewardship in it all, a trusting God, a loving God, a serving God, and He's giving you these talents. Now go and do something for the Lord with these talents. He's giving you this time. Now go and do something. He's given you this increase. Now go and give it back to the Lord. Giving to God is reflective of our relationship with Him. So it shouldn't be surprising that tithes and offerings are an aspect of worship. It's indicative of our liveliness of worship. And Malachi is saying, when you have dead worship, it's no wonder that I can relate that to your very giving of tithes and offerings. The psalmist said in Psalm 96, "Give unto the Lord glory, do His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." It's for this reason I promote weekly giving. Don't appear before the Lord empty-handed when you come to the feast. Make it a part of your worship. It's also something that I try to warn against being of a mercenary spirit. I remember when I was a deacon at a previous ministry, I had a time when I would have to do my duty in counting the tithes and the offerings as they come into the offering plate. And it's kind of funny when you see checks written out for $67.89. Round up. Just go ahead and round up. You know, just $68 makes it easier on the counter, and it just giving God that extra 11 cents, you know. Watch the mercenary spiritism within the tithe. Because one thing is certain, and that's the third point here, you will never outgive God. You can't outgive Him. He owns it all, and you will never reach the capacity where you have outgiven Him. Verses 10 to 12. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this. Now, that's pretty strong language because God rebuked His people in the wilderness for putting Him to the test at Meribah. They tested me there. They tried me here. But God is saying here, return to me and try me now in this. Repent and put me to the test. Tithe. From your heart. Not in a mercenary spirit. But with love and with an expression of dependence, knowing that as you give, and you don't know how you're going to give because things are so tight, but here is your 10%, Lord. And try me now in this, He says. The widow understood with her two mites who God was. And boy, did she put God to the test. And her name is forever in eternal truth, or at least her witness is, as far as her character of giving more than all of the Pharisees combined together in the day in which Jesus ministered. We read about her all the time. The widow's small portion was all she had, and she gave it all. The costly ointment that Mary broke and gave to Jesus, to which she did not realize it was His anointing for His death, but she was just so thankful. Couldn't that have been sold? Comes the mercenary spirit. Jesus said, this is right. What better use are you going to have for this costly ointment than to give it to the King of Kings? And try me now in this. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be a room enough to receive it. This is not prosperity gospel. If you love the Lord and you give to the Lord and you give liberally and you give willingly, trust me, there is so much more you will ever be thankful for than the material blessings He might bless you with. There is so much more. This is not you give in the offering plate today and I'm going to pray God's material blessing upon you. This is not that. Let me tell you something. If you give to God in the way that He desires to be given from your heart in an expression of love and a true dependence upon God for everything you have, you're going to experience so much more blessing than far beyond what dollars and cents can buy you. What greater thing is it to know that the Lord God of heaven is watching over you, blessing your children, and no greater joy will you have that your children walk in truth. And you can't put a price on that. You can't buy that with a Visa card or an American Express. But try Him in this. He'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that He will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor will the vine fail to bear the fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed. How good is that? How good is that if the town of Centerville begins looking at you and say, wow, you are blessed. Not merely because of what you own, but because who you are. Says the Lord of hosts. It's not different from what Solomon said in Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns may be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Dead religion selfishly hoards. Lively faith selflessly gives. If your relationship with God has gotten into a stale and a dull state, then go home and check your checkbook. Giving to God is a delight. So let us give with an abundance and a cheerful heart as our expression of thanksgiving to God's goodness. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how you have rebuked your people and at the same time invited us to try you, to see the bounty, if we will be but faithful and trust you in what you have declared. Father, I pray for this congregation, because you are addressing the entire nation. And I pray we would be faithful in not robbing you, in giving you of tithes, and giving you of offerings, and giving you back what you have so graciously and freely given to us, allowed us to enjoy. And Lord, give us a greater blessing, knowing that it is more blessed to give than to receive. That with those things you give to this church, that we might be a blessing to your kingdom and to those around us and to our neighbor. Lord, give us the joy of giving and knowing this as an expression of our love for Jesus, that He gave us everything that He could give us. And so for that, we give you our thanks and we give you our tithes and offerings. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.